time to tell the neighbors that Charlie Evers' show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, yes, I'm on, that's for sure. And I just see my guest today, Emily Cobble and James Anderson. And the today on May 30th is the radio program with those two. And that's the end of the schedule for the month of May for the Marion County Park District. Yeah. Well, James Anderson and Emily, boy, you brought Emily, your new assistant.
Yes, yep. She just started last week.
Wow, okay. Emily, tell us about yourself. Where are you from originally?
I'm from New Bloomington. I've lived there my entire life.
Okay, New Bloomington, all
yep.
right.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought it was interesting, too. On the south edge of New Bloomington, the LaRue Fire Department handled that. And it was kind of a funny dividing line. I used to bicycle through New Bloomington on my way to the Oorang Bang. Did you ever hear that?
No, I haven't.
Oh, the Oorang Bang.
Oh, yeah.
James, you heard of that.
Oh, yeah. I've been to the event several years.
Yeah. The Oorang Bang was a celebration, with the Indian Pass. You know, at one point, what's his name, the most famous Indian... so you get old enough, you forget all this stuff. But the Olympic champion Indian lived in LaRue and promoted the Airedale Dogs. And his, of course, he's long dead. And his daughter came to the Oorang Bang and brought with her his Olympic medals. And I was able to get with her and pass them around to the kids so the kids would actually... touching an Olympic medal. But that was the Oorang Bang. And it was kind of, it always had a parade.
Yeah.
And a little bit of beer and food of all kinds. But I always rode my bike clear from Clarendon to LaRue. I was always the MC of the parade.
Okay.
It was a long way home, too.
Oh, I bet.
But I remember coming back one year, just on the south edge of New Bloomington. Well, a whole bunch of, you've seen them too, I bet, tanks that were filled with, ammonia for farming.
Yes.
And one of them was leaking and shooting that ammonia straight up in the air.
Oh, boy.
And I, being a ham radio operator, I called on my ham radio to a ham in Marion and said, call the fire department. So I waited there. It was about 40 minutes because they had to come from LaRue.
Oh.
The firemen were at the Oorang Bang.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, anyhow. And, well, Emily, good to have you. Emily Cobble, and you'll be with Dan how long now? As long as you can?
Yeah.
About beginning, middle of August. That's
yeah.
about when her time will be.
Will you go on to further education then?
My plan right now is to go into law enforcement and become a park ranger.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then
great.
The ultimate goal would be hired as the cadets for the wildlife officers, but they're not hiring for like another 5 to 10 months, they said.
One of our listeners has a daughter that went through the same thing you're going to go through, and now she is with the Hancock County Park District up at Findlay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of the goal. So.
Yeah, well, that's great. That's good.
Thanks.
And I see the ODNR has a TV show they do.
Yes, Wild Ohio.
Yeah. And it's always interesting to see that. Then they also have a program that features down where you went to college.
Down to Hocking.
The Hocking Hills area. And she explains all about the plants and the flowers and how in the farther down you go, the different types of trees you'll find. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you've got a, you're nice and young and a lot ahead of you. Oh, that's great. I can remember when I was young.
Oh, Charlie, you're not a day over 25.
No. Hey, as I was telling you, I was speaking at Memorial Day services the other day, and I said, I'm the only one here that can actually remember Civil War veterans marching.
Oh, yeah.
And that was back in the mid-30s. And and they were quite old then.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, and Civil War, Spanish-American War, World War One, and on, you know. Yeah, time flies. Wow. Okay, now, James, what's the big thing that's happening right now with the Park District?
So, well, like you just mentioned, we got our new intern here, and she's going to be helping us out with a lot of our programs for the summer, so we're really glad to have her on board. We actually just hired a person for the bike share program.
Oh, the bike share? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we've kind of talked about it in the past, but this is about the adaptive bikes, so people who have physical or mental disabilities. What the goal is they'll be able to come out to the trail and able to get these bikes or borrow these bikes and ride down the trail.
Would this be three-wheelers?
Well, there's different kinds.
Well, okay.
Yeah, but it just depends on the disability or how the person can handle it. There's ones that it looks like you can pump. There's ones that have a basket in front. So there's all these unique adaptive bikes.
Well, that's good.
So, again, we just hire her. So it's going to be kind of a work in progress. So we just ask people to please be patient. Mm-hmm. And our goal is hopefully to have this kind of up and running for the summer or early fall. And we don't know where it's going to go, but, I mean, our goal is to hopefully have this program so all people can enjoy the Marion Tallgrass Trail.
Now, financing, you're going to have to buy the bicycles?
Well, the bicycles are already bought.
Oh, really?
We're partnering with the Marion County Health Department.
Okay.
So it's kind of their program, but we're kind of partnering with them. Yeah. That little shed, I don't know if you've been to the trailhead recently in the last year or so, but they built a little shed. Where the bikes will go in the future. So we got to find some security system. That's the first step.
Yeah.
So we can lock the bikes safely.
Right.
And then once that's in, then the bikes will go in. And then after that, we'll start trying to figure out a system on, you know, how to work this out. So there's a lot of kinks and there's a lot of progress, but that's what this Lori Wise is for. So she's really going to help us out and we're really excited. So,
Sounds like it. Yeah.
So that's really, I guess, the really big thing. That's happening right now with the Park District.
So, Emily Cobble, to qualify for the job you have right now, tell us about your studies.
So, I was an environmental biology major. So, I took a lot of classes like ornithology and entomology and then like field botany. So, a lot of things with birds, insects, plants, and then just a lot of ecology. And then I was a lab assistant for that too, so that really helped.
Okay, now where were your studies?
At Mount Vernon Nazarene University.
Okay, yes.
Yep.
I just had a relative graduate from there this year.
Yes, I loved it.
Yeah, that's a great stuff.
Oh, yes.
Oh, boy. Okay, so I didn't realize they had programs like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, my wife graduated from that school.
Is that right?
with her teaching degree.
Yeah, okay. Now, where did you, outside of the school, were your studies conducted?
Like, we took a lot of classes. We went to Mohican a lot because my main professor, he was a naturalist there.
Oh.
So that was really cool.
Okay.
And then we also went to the Aerial Foundation Park a lot. And then just on campus, which was really nice because we had a stream that flowed into the Cocosing and everything. That was really handy.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Now, where's the Aerial Foundation's tower?
It's kind of on the side of it. Like, if you're facing it from the road, like the main road, you can't really see it. So you have to drive around.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But you definitely should climb up it. It's really fun.
Oh, yes. It's a great view of Mount Vernon.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's super. So the Aerial Foundation has been involved for a long time in the bicycle program and everything over there.
Oh, yeah. She's been really great. She also, usually every year, she pays for the entire for one day a free admission.
Is that right?
Yeah. She's done that for quite a few years.
Wow. I remember rollerblading. She rollerbladed and I bicycled. She would pass me going like a streak. Woo! Wow. But, So, well, that's great to have a group like that that can put a little bit of money into the area.
Yeah, she's been really good about helping the Mount Vernon community.
Okay. So, well, right now being spring, Emily, are you seeing a lot of different things that you studied in nature at the trail?
Yes, I'm seeing a lot of different birds, and I already collected a tiger moth already last night when I got home from work.
Oh.
I had to run in and go grab a plastic bag.
So, a large moth?
It's actually small, but their wings look like tiger stripes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they're really pretty. So,
well, that's interesting.
Yeah, so we're going to do some collections, and I was like, oh, I need to grab this one.
Wow. How about damselflies?
Yes. I love dragonflies and damselflies. They can get really pretty in the colors and everything.
Yeah.
A lot of different kinds of species.
Yeah.
Yes, right. There's some with more than two wings or less than two wings.
The damselflies, when they land, they kind of fold their wings up versus dragonflies sprawl them out.
Oh, okay.
Also, too, damselflies have a very, very skinny abdomen versus dragonflies are a little bit wider, a little bit fatter.
Where are we apt to see that type of fly?
Just any around creeks, streams, ponds, lakes, wetlands. Definitely like Paradise. There's a lot of different kinds of damselflies, dragonflies.
Wow.
The Marion Community Foundation Lake at Tallgrass Trail. We have quite a few different species.
It sounds like,
as long as you have a wet area.
Yeah.
You
Emily, will they sting you?
No.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Now, isn't that funny? When I was a kid, we call them snake doctors.
Snake doctors. I've
never
heard
of
that.
I don't know how that term came, but there were snake doctors to us.
Yeah, dragonflies are considered, they call the birds of prey of the insect world. Yeah.
Ah.
They will eat other insects.
Wow.
And I don't know if you ever look really close at a dragonfly, but they have kind of these spikes on their legs. And so what they do is they'll grab when the insects are flying, they'll grab them, and then they'll bring them up to their mouths
and
eat them. They do that to the last with butterflies especially.
Boy, now that sounds like it'd be something worth just sitting somewhere and observing.
Oh, it is really interesting seeing that.
Wow. Okay. I know I've... what's it... Now, there's two... The damselfly and what else?
And dragonfly.
Dragonfly, okay.
Yeah, they're really closely related.
Okay,
I mean, they're cousins.
Yeah. And they fly pretty fast when they decide to move.
They can, yeah. And it's hard to get pictures so when they're in flight, but it's when they're landing, that's about the best time you can get them.
Now, I saw something new for hummingbirds, and that's a little shelter where you put banana peels in it, and the fruit flies gather, and then the hummingbirds eat the fruit flies.
Yeah. That I've never heard of that, but I could see that because a lot of people don't realize... You know, hummingbirds eat more than just your bird feeder.
That's right. They've got to eat more than that liquid.
They need protein, so they do eat a lot of insects, gnats,
right.
Small mosquitoes, and even small wasps and bees they'll eat.
Wow. And it's interesting, if you can trap these fruit flies with decaying vegetables.
Yeah.
But there's something you can buy, I think it's around $29, called a humbugger.
A humbugger.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
I'll have to look that up.
For hummingbird bugs.
Okay.
Yeah, look that. And I'm sure that our stores, maybe in another year or so, will probably feature some of those.
Probably Rule King. They always sell all kinds of features.
Yes, right. But right now, if you type in, I think, humbugger on the search.
Sounds like the Scrooge.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And it's a thing with a kind of a lid over it, and you put your banana peels in there. And something else, and hummingbirds will have a feast.
Well, it's funny you kind of say that. That's actually another way you can help attract butterflies if you have fruit that's ripening out.
Oh, really?
It's kind of too far for us to eat, and butterflies will love love eating that. But the problem is, if it ferments too much, they actually can get drunk from it.
No kid.
Yes.
Like a certain bird in the springtime that eats. Oh, I can't remember that. Cedar waxwing, I think it was, in Marion.
Okay.
They would eat these...
All the berries, yeah.
Yeah, berries, and they get drunk.
Yeah. Animals can get drunk.
Yeah, they'd smash into store windows and break their neck.
Squirrels, you always hear, too.
Is that right?
When they'll eat that fermenting fruit, or pumpkins, I've heard. Yeah, they can get a little tipsy off of it.
In downtown, in some areas of Marion, years ago, they planted these flower or trees that when they bloom, they smell like dead fish.
Oh, was it Ginkgo?
Well, no, it was a, I can't remember the name of, but that was, it was interesting because if you bicycle down the street, you'd smell like you were in a fish market.
Okay. Oh. Only one I can think of is Ginkgo because I know they smell really bad.
Yeah, oh, yeah, their fruit. Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Crabapple, maybe? Is that one? There's that they plant at Mount Vernon that smells really bad.
Is that right? Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, now we're going to break here. We'll be right back with Emily and
Ted,
Dan.
Did you know Marion, Ohio is the popcorn capital of the world?
No, Scott, I didn't know that. Could you get me some?
I don't have any at the moment.
Some capital. Does anyone have a Chicken Places number?
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Okay, we're back once again with Emily Cobble and James Anderson from the Marion County Park District and talking about things in the great outdoors. And boy, there's a lot of things out there.
Yeah, there is.
Especially this time of the year. Oh, my goodness. But let me see. I have to get my microphones all arranged. Yeah, okay, I think I got it. I have so many microphones here. Okay, now, James, you brought with you something a little different than normal as far as a hide of a wild animal goes.
Well, I brought several.
Oh, really?
Yes, I brought the weasels.
A weasel?
Yep, weasels and different members of the weasel family.
Okay, and are weasels also called ermines?
That's a nickname, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of an old English name and kind of like older generation. I usually hear that term, but yeah. Ermine is a nickname for a lot of weasels.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, it used to be kind of classy to say, she's got an ermine coat.
Yes.
Yeah, and instead of saying weasel or whatever.
But yeah, a lot of people don't realize we do have a lot of different kinds of weasels in Marion County in the state of Ohio. Of course, the actual weasel, this is the short-tail weasel.
Yeah, now that one right there, I saw one identical to that alive on the trail over at Mount Vernon.
Okay.
He was just standing up along the trail on his hind legs.
They do that so they can look around looking for food or also predators.
Okay, and that is a white weasel?
Well, it's a short-tailed weasel.
Short-tailed.
Now, the reason why he's white, because some of the weasels will change the color of their coat with the seasons.
Is that right?
So if you look for them right now, they're kind of changing to their summer coat, so they'll be kind of half brown, half white.
Okay.
And probably here soon they'll be completely brown.
Hmm.
With maybe a little bit of white on their chest. But then as late fall becomes, then they turn into the solid white. So they want to blend into their environment.
Does that ever affect, if a commercial trapper sold those, would they change color? I guess they have to be alive.
They got to be alive. Okay. Yeah. They're one of the very few mammals that completely change the color of the coat with the seasons. Like snowshoe hares is another great example of that.
Well, that's
versus other animals like deer, they won't change the complete color, but they may get more of a darker tone.
Yeah.
In the spring and summer, they'll get more of a lighter tone.
Interesting. Okay.
Of color.
Now you brought what else did you
bring? I brought the other members of the weasel family. I brought an otter, a badger, a mink.
You have a badger's pelt?
I do have a badger pelt. And I brought a skunk. Now, the reason why I brought a skunk, because skunks used to be considered in the weasel family. Probably when you were in science class, they probably mentioned that, because as they were classifying skunks, it looked like a weasel and act like a weasel, so it's got to be in the weasel family. But when we discover about DNA and everything like that, we actually tested the skunks and found out they're more distant from the weasel family than what we thought. So they're actually in their own family.
Yeah, I was going to say, what would a skunk be related to then?
They're in their own family. It's called the Mephitidae family, versus the weasels are in the Mystelidae family.
Okay. Those are Latin names, I take it.
Yes, yep, yep.
And Latin never, Emily, Latin never changes in meaning, and so that's, I guess, why everything is in Latin.
Yes, yes.
Flowers, medicine.
Oh, yeah.
You name it.
Wolverines, they are the biggest weasel in North America, and they're actually in the weasel family.
Is that right?
We used to have wolverines in Ohio a long time ago.
Yeah, what does a wolverine look like?
So wolverines, they can get up to about 20 pounds. They stand about maybe 2 feet tall, and they're very vicious predators. They can take down relatively medium-sized deer.
Well, no kidding.
But everything is usually a little bit smaller, rabbits, yeah, sure. Skunks, things like that. But yeah, the nickname for wolverines is called skunk bears.
Really?
Because they look kind of like a bear at a distance, but they kind of have that stripe around their chest and look kind of like a skunk.
Oh, okay. Now, you brought another pelt with you, and I don't think I'd want to meet one of these guys out in the anywhere. And what is that?
Oh, the skunk?
No, not the skunk, but...
we got the mink?
No. Didn't you bring a...
Badger?
A badger.
Yes. I have an American badger.
Ooh.
So I've never seen one in Ohio, but when I was bird watching in Kentucky around Lexington, my friend and I, we were just looking at some different warblers, and we saw this little guy popping his head up, and then we thought, oh, there's a badger, and we got a little close. I know that was kind of stupid, and he let us know, and he kind of was charging at us, and we quickly turned around, but they're very aggressive.
Yeah, they got probably pretty good-sized teeth, too.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, but a badger has... Well, a stripe, one bright white stripe right down his forehead.
Yeah, the name Badger comes from the patches or badges from his face.
Right?
So that's, the name.
Okay, folks, you learned something new.
That's right. It's really funny. Badgers they're very solitary. They don't even like their own kind.
The only time
you see them together is during mating season or a female with young.
Yeah.
But other than that, they hate each other.
Isn't that something?
But versus otters... They're different. They're more social. They actually stick in groups. And a group of otters is sometimes called colony. Now, there are other terms, but that's a common name. So, again, it's usually mom and dad, siblings, older siblings, younger siblings, and they stay in that tight bond versus a lot of the other weasels are
interesting.
Kind of separate.
Now, otters can be found in some of the streams around here, can't you?
Yeah, the Scioto, and then I saw one around Paradise down the Olentangy a few years ago, not far from your house.
Yeah.
I think he was just passing by because I have not seen
waved.
An otter. Yeah, wave.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Weren't otters... placed in some streams by ODNR?
Yeah, so they actually had a very sad story, but a happy ending. So by 1980, not that long ago, they were declared extirpated from the state of Ohio.
Really?
Mainly because of overhunting in the early 1900s, and then with pollution and habitat destruction, they were kicked out. Well, then by 1986, they reintroduced otters. They had to grab them from Colorado, Pennsylvania, and they released them in four major rivers, the Cocosine, Scioto, Olentangy, and, I forget the third or the fourth one.
Right.
And then by 2002, they were taken off the endangered species list.
Is that right? They've all applied that much?
Yeah, they did. So they do have a trapping season. It's mainly in the eastern part of Ohio with certain numbers, so they're very controlled with the trapping. But, yeah, it's hard to believe that this animal was considered endangered at one time.
Yeah, wow. And of course, now... furs from the wild are probably not worth as much as they used to be.
No, not much. You probably remember, trapping was probably a very big sport.
It was big,
some people did actually make a living from trapping, but now it's more of a hobby than anything.
You'd look around and on some people's garages there'd be the boards that they hung the pelt on to dry out.
Yeah. Yep.
Boy, some time ago.
That's right.
Now, Emily, you being rather young, you haven't got to the point yet where you can say, well, I used to. But someday you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once you get our age, there'll be a lot of useless. But, that's interesting, though, that how long a course was it that you did?
They usually were a semester.
Okay.
So, I mean, I would change classes every, from it was the beginning of school, which it started probably the end of August till December, and then from January to the end of the school year.
Well,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
But that's nice to know that something like that is offered over there at the Nazarene College.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay. And then Marion OSU, they just started a biology program just about a year or two ago.
Where at?
At Marion OSU.
Oh, really? At OSU. Okay.
Yeah. So, if you're a local kid and if you just wanted to stay in Marion, the OSU just started a biology program.
Well, that's good to hear. Now, speaking of biology and things, Richard Bradley, is he still at OSU?
No, he retired.
Oh, I wonder, because I used to do the Christmas bird count with him for years and years.
He told me about that.
Yeah.
Now he's big into spiders.
That's right. You can go to the internet and type in Ohio spiders, and you'll bring up his collection.
He started the first spider survey in the state of Ohio in the early 90s, I think.
Wow, yes. Started. Isn't that something? As spiders, most people are kind of yicky about.
Yeah, and, you know, nobody really studied them before, and then he just took the first approach and say, you know, well, what's going on with our spider population?
Seemed like he wrote a book or something on the...
Oh, yeah, I think he's wrote several publications, I know he probably helped with the one with the ODNR when they just published theirs a few years ago.
I just wonder what ever happened to Richard, because he was so big in birds. I mean, you could go out bird watching with him. He could spot a bird a mile away and tell you what it was.
My one ornithology instructor was like...
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, my. I never will forget. I was... and it's just off the bike trail at the Hickory Grove campground.
Oh, yeah.
They have a lake there.
A lot of eagles around there.
Yeah. In one winter, when we were doing the bird watch, way out on that lake, and it wasn't frozen out in there, Richard spotted it. Oh, there's a red-eyed something or other. And I could hardly see the bird.
Okay.
Or the duck or whatever it was.
Yeah, that's actually not terribly far from her house.
That would be right out that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why? Boy. Well, that's something. Emily from originally from New Bloomington area.
Wow. Yep. Last week, that's when she first started, and I took her out to the parks last week.
Oh, okay.
So one day we did Tallgrass Trail. We did different sections.
Right.
And then the other day I took her to the other sister parks and showed her around. So
okay.
I think I wore her out on the Tallgrass Trail one because we did a lot of walking.
Okay,
We hiked 10 miles.
That's right. I can imagine, the trail is 12 miles long, yes. And I guess you could actually walk it and not realize you're going that far, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can remember, of course, when I was with Richard Bradley doing the bird count, as far as we ever got was Espyville.
Okay.
But we would do the what was now the bike trail up until Espyville, and that was just overgrown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he did spot, I remember, a yellow-rumped warbler.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it was near Espyville.
Yeah, they're very common.
I thought I saw one recently somewhere. But maybe, I don't know for sure.
Okay.
But he had some yellow in the back end.
Yeah, they're probably our most common warbler in Ohio.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And I'm seeing all kinds of different birds at our bird feeder. It's really interesting when you've got time just to sit and watch your feeder.
Yeah, a lot of our summer residents are back or coming back.
Okay. And one of the house finch.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which can be confused, maybe, with a purple finch.
Yeah, they look very, very similar.
Yeah. I don't know if they're as deep in color or...
Males are a little bit easier to distinguish. Yeah, the purple finch has more of that very dark purplish maroon kind of color.
Yes, right. So do you see many purple finches?
I've seen from time to time. Not a terribly a lot at the trail.
We only have one, the house finch, that comes to our feeder. At least I only see one.
Yeah.
But
the Intigo Bundings, man, on Monday when we did our bird watching program, we saw several. And right now it's breeding season with them, so we saw a lot of males attacking each other, defending territory. So.
Yes. That's what, I've been watching out in our pasture, birds mating, and I kept thinking, I've got three bird houses up. And they haven't been occupied until recently. I saw one.
Okay.
A little wren going in the one that my wren house.
Yeah.
But it seems like, I don't know if the breeding season was later. Probably not. But so they'll be nesting.
Yep, here soon.
And what I did, too, was to scatter the milkweed stuff out for birds.
Oh, yeah.
And there's clumps of it, too. And birds a lot of time will pick that up and pack it around their nest.
A lot of orioles will pick the silk and they'll use it really? to do that little cup nest that they do.
Okay.
And also they'll use spider webs too a lot.
All right. Now, what is the popular attraction that the average person uses to promote an oriole visitation?
So the big thing you can do is oranges and grape jelly. Those are probably the two things you can do. Now, like we talked
about. From NBC News, this is Today with Matt Lauer and Meredith Vieira.
Wow, that was a special morning doing the opening for the Today Show in 2011.
Yes, but you know what? There was a downside.
What was that?
Having to share a dressing room with Willard Scott. Smucker jars everywhere.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
/180/111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak or walk.
150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again with Emily Cobble and James Anderson from the Marion County Park District. Now, the Park District seems like it's growing.
Yes.
Especially from what I see on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, boy, when I started 4 years ago, I mean...
Yeah, it's sparse.
Yes, I mean, the trail was only about 3.5 miles, yeah. You know. We didn't even have electric at our building, and and no one barely knew who we were. But, boy, over the 4 years, we've not just grown physically, but, boy, more people are knowing about us. And I get the less and less of, I didn't know that was there. Yeah, I didn't know who you are. Yeah. I'm hearing less of that each year as we get more out into the community. So. Yeah. I think we're doing okay.
I would say so.
Promoting the Park District.
And the Facebook images we've seen of one lady has done a lot of bird photography.
Yes, Amy Holloway. She's one of my good friends. She worked with my wife at the Tomorrow Center.
Really?
And, she's really great. She's actually self-teaching herself photography. And she has a really, really long lens. And that's how she's able to get really good pictures. Bob Turner, he's also one of my other local photographers, and he has a really nice lens. So we're just very grateful that we have all these photographers and they're willing to share their work with us. Because it is hard to be out there every day and getting a lot of unique pictures.
And even though they're not as good, a little smartphone can capture...
You know, it's funny you say that. Well, last week when Emily and I were touring Tallgrass Trail right by Epsifell, we got a painted turtle laying eggs.
Really?
And I took a picture on my smartphone, and I advertised it. So, but yeah, that was really cool to see the painted turtle do that.
That's nice to have that available, because not always would you carry a camera with a long lens and and hundreds of dollars worth of...
It's fun, but it's big and bulky, and it can be...
Well,
hurt your neck after a while carrying for miles.
Isn't it something, though, how times have changed?
Oh, yeah.
From when we had film and cameras?
Yeah, I remember that generation. Yeah.
Emily, do you remember that?
No.
isn't that something?
Yeah, yeah. And then you had to pray, and you're like, oh, please, hopefully they come out well. And
I guess you'd take them into like Meijer or somebody else, and you'd put them in a self-sealing bag, and then go back a few days later, and they would have your developed film into prints hanging up there.
Well, where I graduated from North Union, we were one of the last few schools that had a red room still for photography. Now, I heard they got rid of it a few years after I graduated. But
that's something.
But, we still had a red room.
Yeah, I remember my dad had a dark room with red light in it. Now the astronomical observatories use red lights at night.
Yeah.
Okay. Probably the same principle.
Yeah.
And, dark rooms, oh my land, I can still see my dad developing film and then printing Oh, my goodness.
It was fun.
Oh, yeah. Emily, oh, see that picture right down there, that kid with a gun? That's me.
Oh, that is.
Yeah, and my dad took that picture and developed that and printed it.
Oh, that's a good picture of you.
With a 38 automatic.
Oh, boy.
Or whatever it was.
Huh.
Yeah, I was 3 years old then.
That's how old my boy is.
Yeah, and I learned to use guns safely.
That's good.
But I remember going hunting once with a friend of mine, and I tried to tell him, you don't cock your gun while you're walking.
Oh, no,
and, but he
that.
Did, and one day his gun went off right beside my head, and I thought, here goes everything. Barely... it missed me altogether, but it was so close. So you got to be careful. But is there what's going on with the lake?
We started canoe and kayaking last year.
Oh, are they making good use of that?
Oh yeah, that has increased. Of course, fishing has been very popular. Somebody, I think I told you last show, somebody did what's called kite boarding.
Yes.
They basically a surfboard and then a parachute, and then they just have the wind that harness the parachute, and then they just skim across the lake. So it's really neat to see.
Yeah, how do they get back then? They zigzag?
Yeah, zigzag, or hopefully the wind changes directions, or if not, they just got to paddle.
Yeah, right. What was that called in sailing? The zigzag course, there's a name to it.
I'm not sure.
Oh, I can't. Isn't that something? A very common name for so you can go against the wind if you zigzag.
Okay.
Yeah. It's slower.
Yeah. The Ridgedale Lions Club, they made a gazebo out at the lake at the Herd Road parking lot.
Oh, no kidding.
Now, they built it in November, but the reason why we kept it quiet because we wanted to build a ramp for anybody with wheelchairs.
Sure.
But because it was so late in the year and then with all the rain we've had, they just built a ramp just about a few weeks ago. So that's an area you can, there's no benches, but you can go under the gazebo and have a nice view of the lake.
Okay, now, you can buy kayaks in a lot of the sporting goods stores now.
Yep.
Now, Emily, you have to have a license?
Certain ones, it depends.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And if you're going to be in it paddling or whatever, I suppose you have to have a license.
Yeah. If it's canoeing, kayaks, yes, it does have to be registered under the Division of Parks and Watercraft. Now, paddle boarding, like she said, there's some that you do and some that you don't, so it's kind of very fine line. Yeah. So if you really want to find out, definitely just research the Ohio Division of Parks and Watercraft. Okay.
There wouldn't be much of a place to put a number on a paddle board.
No, there wouldn't. It's so flat.
But to me, that I remember rafting when I was a kid, and it was bigger than a paddleboard, of course. We tied logs together, and I hadn't even learned to swim.
Oh, okay.
And I'm out in the middle of the reservoir on this log raft. But, you know, if parents knew what all you got involved with.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I keep thinking of my grandkids. But, now, paddleboarding. It's kind of interesting. You stand up on a flat thing and
you just get a long paddle and you just go down.
Isn't that kind of, I mean, you better know how to swim.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to meet a wave.
Yeah, as long as you don't or you have a good sense of balance. Yeah, I mean, I saw one person do it last year.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But to me, that's the last way that you could get it on the water easily.
That's right. Well, luckily at the lake, you don't. If you have little waves, they're very tiny.
Yeah,
they're
very not, small. Yeah,
you don't have to worry about big waves.
But the lake is being used quite readily.
Yeah, we're really glad that people are going out and doing other things other than just walking and biking. So we try to tell people we offer a lot of recreational opportunities.
That's good. Now, do you have at the trailhead? Are you? Do you have anything other than just a meeting area?
Well, that's our shelter house, our nature center, and then...
You have some displays in there?
Yeah, we got a couple of displays, and probably throughout the summer, if we find a snake or something, we might put in a little cage and show people.
Right.
So that's our goal.
Okay, Emily, have you seen any snakes other than a garter snake?
We saw one, but that was just a garter snake.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Not anything different yet.
Now, are there two? There's the kind with yellow stripes.
Yeah, and then there's the brown snake.
Brown, okay.
Now, her area by Epsiville, I've seen black rat snakes and milk snakes.
Oh, okay,
so
yeah.
So they're bigger, but and a lot of people think they're scarier, but they're still harmless, and they're there to eat a lot of the mice and larger rodents.
Yeah, like I told you once, too, there was a 5 or 8 foot rat snake in our basement.
Oh, yeah.
I tried to catch it, and I couldn't. It got away, and I've never seen it again. So who knows what it's doing.
Might still be living there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Man,
well, help with your mice.
Yeah. Oh, we haven't had a mouse.
Well, there you go.
You know, I just thought of that. We haven't. Usually we have mice all through the winter.
Yeah.
Not anymore. Oh.
There you go. Plant you some more rat snakes.
I'm glad my wife isn't afraid of snakes because she's in the basement more than I am. Wow. But, yeah, it was a long one, my land. But we've had other milk snakes in the house, short ones, and they get kind of snippy.
They can. You know what a nickname for a milk snake is?
No.
A cow sucker.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's how they got their name.
Yes, well, because they used to hang around dairy parlors a lot.
Yeah, right.
And people used to think they used to steal milk from the cows, and of course, that's just a myth.
Yeah, an old tale, yeah.
Yeah, so, but the name has still stayed with them, is milk snake.
Yeah, we found a couple of small ones up on our upstairs from time to time, but not that often.
Okay.
But anyhow, for the grandkids, if they ever see one, they disappear quickly.
Oh, yeah. Now, the water snakes, you will see a lot around the second bridge and at the lake.
Okay, now, do the water snakes have any white bands on them?
No, they're really a dark orange. The spots are called saddles.
Oh, really?
They have the really dark orange. Now, there's different subspecies or variety of water snakes. There are some that have a really bright orange belly. There's some that are really dark. It just depends on what region you are. There's different subspecies of water snake.
Okay.
Then, of course, there's the Lake Erie water snake,
which is
it's not endangered anymore, but it is, I think, threatened. But it's just only found up in the islands of Lake Erie, the Catawba, Port Clinton, Kelly's
Wherever
Island.
There are rocks and along the shoreline, too, you'll see them all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so apparently they aren't threatened anymore.
No, their population is doing pretty good. So.
Yeah, I would think, okay. So much. Well, have you seen any other snake around your area that different?
No, those are, I guess, the most common.
Pretty common.
There have been the historic sightings of the Masaga pygmy rattlesnake up in the northern part of the county, up by Morrill, which is by Kildare.
Kildare, yeah.
Yeah. But no recent sightings. Yeah.
It used to be, I think I've said before, on the west end of the county, it used to be full of rattlesnakes. And this is many, many years ago.
Okay.
And when farmers gathered up hay, a lot of times there were rattlesnake in that hay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And farmers got their share of bites.
Yeah, I bet.
And poisonings, But that's another era. They're all gone.
Well, it's funny. Your area, where you originated from, Crawford County, was full of copperheads.
Oh, yeah.
When it was first settled in, they said you could find several within a small plot of land.
Yeah, and we used to have a lot of cranberry bogs in the north part of the county, and I suppose that promoted snakes.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. But the cranberries are all gone.
Yes.
But they have leftovers like the Cranberry Golf Course.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Or Cranberry Hills Golf Course, I guess. 10:58 is the time. Now, you folks listening, I hope we've taunted your appetite. If you have any questions, though, make sure you call 740-383-9944. 740-383-9944. And now is a good time to get any questions about things out there in the great outdoors. Your questions will be answered. Okay. Now, Emily, is there a favorite kind of outdoor activity you like more than any others?
Birding and insect collecting are my two favorite. I love to go to McGee Marsh and see the warblers migrate. That's one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah, McGee Marsh. Isn't that the number one?
Yep, it's the warbler capital of the world.
Yes,
so,
right.
Yep.
I've never been to McGee Marsh, especially during the migration time, but
it's chaotic, I'll tell you.
It's crazy.
That.
Yeah,
but it's fun.
I can imagine these people with their big cameras and everything is so-so, and you know.
Yeah.
You meet some nice people, and then you meet some not nice people.
Exactly, yeah. I remember one time I was bicycling east of Newark in Black Hand Gorge, and there was an older couple there, and they were looking for a cerulean warbler.
Oh, okay.
And boy, they were serious people.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Well, we're going to break here in another 20 minutes or 20 seconds or so, and then we'll be back after the news with Emily Cobble and James Anderson, Marion County Park District. So don't go away. 740-333-9944. Right now, the correct Eastern Standard Time is 11 o'clock.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for politics. The only local Marion news coverage from the Republican National Convention. With conservative icon Phyllis Schlafly.
This is Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio at the Quicken Loans Arena, and we are joined by a conservative icon, Mrs. Phyllis Schlafly. Phyllis, how many conventions have you been to?
Well, I came to my first one in 1952, so you can count them up.
Do you think that it's good that Bob Dole is the only Republican past candidate for president who's shown at this event? Is that respectable on his behalf?
Well, that's the attempt of the anti-Trump people to downgrade him in some way, and I think they're going to be shown up.